Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 4 years ago today, on Judica Sunday, or the fifth Sunday in Lent, I submitted for publication a translation of Aegidius Junius's Theses Opposed to Huberianism from 1597, if you remember. It's that little booklet in which Aegidius Junius, one of the Lutheran leaders at that time, exposed the fraud that was Samuel Huber's teaching of universal election and universal justification. Junius demonstrated in that little booklet and in others what the simple, straightforward Lutheran doctrine, that is, the Christian doctrine, is of the gospel, that all have sinned, that Christ died for all, that by his death he made atonement for the sins of all, that he wants all men to be saved, not by earning our own salvation, but by trusting in Christ who earned salvation for us. That is the gospel. His Holy Spirit works through the preaching of that gospel and the administration of the sacraments to create and sustain faith, and all who believe in Christ are justified before God, forgiven and saved, while all who do not believe in him remain in their sins and remain under God's condemnation, not justified, not forgiven, and not saved. That simple summary of Christ's teaching, that simple truth, was called foolishness by the synods. It was called heresy, an incomplete gospel, false teaching, and therefore also demonic. They mocked and ridiculed it. Why? Could they prove it wrong from Scripture? No, they couldn't. It's the doctrine that permeates the Scriptures from the beginning to the end. They called it foolish because they didn't agree with, or it didn't agree with, their human reason and human philosophy, which had replaced the Word of Christ in their hearts. But for others, for those who believed that simple gospel, the ring of truth sounded loudly, and that very same summary of Christ's teaching brought great comfort and great relief to troubled sinners who recognized the voice of Christ and embraced it and would have gladly faced death rather than deny it. St. Paul once wrote to the Corinthians, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Those words of St. Paul not only describe the situation we have encountered, they also describe exactly the situation that we see in our gospel today from John chapter 8, where we're confronted with the foolishness that is the truth. None of the Jews believed in Jesus. I don't mean none of the Jews. I mean the majority of the Jews. But Scripture lumps the Jews as a category together as those who rejected him. You understand what we mean by that. You understand what St. John means when he says that the Jews didn't believe him. He didn't mean every single one, because the disciples were Jews. Jesus was a Jew. But as a people, as a nation, the Jews rejected him. Why? None of them could convict Jesus of sin. He challenged them to do it, and they couldn't. Jesus had lived a perfectly blameless life before God and before the world. And none of the Jews could point out any error in Jesus' teaching by comparing it with the inspired scriptures of the Old Testament. They never came along with the Old Testament and said, well, Jesus, what you're saying disagrees with this or disagrees with that. They couldn't do it. They didn't even try, as far as we know. The inspired Word of God pointed straight to Jesus in all that He said and did, as He fulfilled one prophecy after another. And the children in Sunday school heard just a couple of those prophecies today from the prophet Isaiah. All the Scriptures pointed to Jesus as the fulfiller of God's Word, as the Messiah sent by God to save the people from their sins. So why did the Jews call His teaching foolish? Jesus told them, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God." And those words burned the Jews. That's a direct accusation from Jesus, identifying not only their unbelief, but what their unbelief signified, that they were not God's children at all, but children of the devil. But to you who are of God, who hear the words of God, that is, who hear and believe the words of God, Jesus' words are precious to you. You hear God's words. You believe them. When you hear Jesus offering Himself to the world as its Savior from sin, as the one who was crucified and raised from the dead, as the one who, as Hebrews put it, came as high priest of the good things to come, as the one who is the mediator of a new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. When you hear that, it draws you to Jesus as your mediator and brings you great comfort, because you know that in clinging to Christ in faith, you have the forgiveness of your sins and nothing to worry about on the day of judgment. The Jews in our gospel mocked Jesus then in their anger after He offended them. "Do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Again, as you know, Samaritan was about the biggest racial slur that someone could make at that time among the Jews. Not only racial slur, but a religious slur. "You're a half-breed. You're not a true believer, a true member of Israel." But Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges." Well, that truth that Jesus spoke to the Jews was just more foolishness to them. Unbelievable claims that Jesus is the one who honors God the Father as opposed to any of them, that God the Father seeks glory for Jesus and, in fact, demands that all people honor the Son just as they honor the Father, that God the Father will judge and condemn all those who seek Him apart from Jesus the Christ. Jesus spoke that simple truth to the Jews, and they hated it and rejected it. But to you who are of God, it's blessed comfort to know that God the Father so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. You honor God the Father when you honor God the Son and hear His words and believe them. And you know that you will not come into judgment, because Jesus said, "He who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." That's especially comforting today after our sister Mary Stacy breathed her last on Friday. And Jesus' words in our gospel are just as comforting along those lines. "Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Now, to the Jews in our gospel, and to unbelievers in general, those words are foolish. How can Jesus say such things? Clearly, everyone sees death. We see their lifeless bodies. We take them and bury them. Everyone dies, even the greatest saints in Holy Scripture, even Abraham himself. And yet Jesus says, "If anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death." Well, either Jesus is telling a demonic lie, or he is telling the truth from God. Unbelievers conclude that he is lying, that he is foolish to conclude such things, that death is permanent and one of the most dependable things in life, along with taxes, and that Jesus can't do a thing about it. That's what the Jews concluded. That's what the world still concludes. But believers conclude that Jesus is telling the truth. And since we believe that Jesus is telling the truth about death, we believe that those who die as believers in Christ do not actually see death or taste death. That is, their souls experience none of the pain or punishment of hell, but are truly at peace with God, waiting expectantly for the day of resurrection when Christ will speak over their graves and wake them up from their sleep, just as he did on many occasions during his ministry, just as Jesus himself was raised from the dead, never to die again. The Jews in the gospel made much of having Abraham as their ancestor and mocked Jesus for his claims about death. But Jesus upped the ante, as it were, and claimed to be much more than Abraham's descendant, and much more than the one who has power over death. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Understand the truth that Jesus is speaking here. He's claiming to be not just a descendant of Abraham, but the offspring of Abraham, the seed of Abraham in whom all nations on earth would be blessed, true man and sole heir to the Old Testament made with Abraham and with the people of Israel, and also true God, Yahweh or Jehovah, the great I Am, the Word made flesh. Such a claim will either strike a person as foolishness or as the blessed truth. It struck the Jews in the gospel as foolishness, and it made them so angry that they tried to stone Jesus to death on the spot, and it led them to eventually plot his crucifixion. It still strikes most of the world as foolishness, as people are willing to embrace any and every religion, any and every fable, myth, legend, philosophy, opinion, or belief, except for the message of the cross, that Jesus Christ is true God and true man, the only Savior, that all are sinners and are justified solely by faith in Christ. But that's good news to you, isn't it? Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That is the gospel by which we have been saved from condemnation and made heirs of eternal life. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be afraid to confess it. And don't worry about it when the world rejects you as foolish or rejects the gospel of Christ when they hear it. As St. Paul said, "God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise." truth is, we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Let today's gospel make you even more bold to confess in the words of the Apostle Paul, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'The just shall live by faith.'" Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.